And the time is 6 o'clock.
This is CKUW 95.9 FM, streaming at ckuw.ca. We hope you've enjoyed listening to us, and stay tuned. CKUW is managed by the Winnipeg Campus Community Radio Society in accordance with CRTC and Industry Canada rules and regulations. As a not-for-profit radio station, CKUW is a member of the National Campus Community Radio Association and adheres to their statement of principles to provide an alternative voice. CKUW operates on a frequency of 95.9 MHz on the FM band with 450 watts effective radiated power, or ERP. Our transmitter is located at 7 Evergreen Place in Osborne Village. Programming originates from our downtown studios at the University of Winnipeg in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. We would like to hear from you and welcome your ideas to improve listening, which will be heard on CKUW in years to come. Address your comments and suggestions to CKUW 95.9 FM, Room 4, CM11, 515 Portage Avenue, Winnipeg, Manitoba, R3B2E9. You can call 204-786-9782 or email us at ckuw@uwinnipeg.ca. This is Victoria King speaking for the Board of Directors, staff, and volunteers of CKUW 95.9 FM. Thank you for listening and stay tuned for more great community radio.
CKUW 95.9 FM broadcasts from the University of Winnipeg, located on Treaty 1 territory and the national homeland of the Red River Métis in Winnipeg, Manitoba. We acknowledge that these are the ancestral lands of the Anishinaabeg, Anishininu, Ininwak, Nehotowak, Ocheti, Shakowin, Dakota Ayeti, and Métis peoples. This territory is also a place of significance for the Dene and the Inuit. We acknowledge that our water is sourced from Shoal Lake 40 First Nation in Treaty 3 territory, and that most of our hydroelectricity comes from Treaty 5 territory in northern Manitoba. As a community-driven, not-for-profit organization, CKUW 95.9 FM strives to respect, value, and incorporate Indigenous knowledge and perspectives into our programming and organization in the spirit of truth and reconciliation. Remembering the original spirit and intent of the treaties, we recognize that the work of reconciliation is ongoing.
Good morning, friends. I'm Ron Robinson.
Good morning. I'm Carol.
And we are the Saturday Morning Show.
Yeah, yes, we're here.
Live. Look, here. No, to your left. That's us, 6 until 8. And then there'll be a mystery program. I'm just guessing. Could be hell is what I'm expecting, but you never know till you get there. The weather coming up in just a minute from Carol. Carol on the roof, looking for ancient radio waves. We've got the Vancouver Orpheus Choir. We've got the sports for you. We've got a bit of this and a bit of the other.
Wow.
Now, I'm getting an indication that we had the weather, and now I'm getting an indication that hold
no,
that weather.
I'm just saying sometimes, like I have the weather. That's
yes.
good.
Yes.
But I have to set up the next thing, and it takes me a few seconds
while you're doing that.
To do that. So I'm ready now.
Let's have the weather.
Okay. I talked through my setup. It's -9. Would you agree?
Yes.
Yes. But cloudy. I would agree with that. Barometric pressure, 102.2 and rising. It's a good thing. Humidity, 88%. Wind coming from the northwest at 33, so that gives you a wind chill of -19.
It was behind us all the way. Poo-poo.
Well, yeah, and we weren't dressed in heavy winter clothing.
No,
either.
No.
We were
no,
dressed in,
no,
like,
no,
-8
no,
clothing.
No,
yeah, fine.
No.
Periods of light snow, which will end soon, may have already ended. We didn't
see any.
We walked through. the evidence of light snow earlier this morning. But it's going to be cloudy today. Wind coming from the northwest at 30 and gusting to 50, and then light this afternoon. The temperature will fall to minus 12. So we may have already hit the high of the day, minus 9. It's going down to minus 12 this afternoon.
Imagine hitting your high before 6 a.m.
No.
Yeah, that's sad.
Yep. Wind chill, minus 20 this morning and minus 15 this afternoon. They're not even telling you the high of the day, I suspect, because we've already hit it.
All right.
Yep.
That's the weather. A quick look now at sports. And
yes.
Mr. Hockey, Mr. Goalie,
yes.
has died at the age of 94.
Oh, wow.
At the Winnipeg Free Press from Thursday. Hall of Famer Glenn Hall, Iron Man who changed the way goaltenders play. He played with Detroit, Chicago, certainly, and St. Louis. Has died at the age of 94. As for our listeners, particularly overseas, who will remember Glenn Hall from their childhood, he won 2 Stanley Cups, Calder Memorial Trophy, 3 Vezina Trophies, Conn Smythe Trophy from 1952 to 71. Named a first-team All-Star 7 times, played 13 All-Star games. He started and finished 502 consecutive regular season games. Nobody does that anymore, I can tell you. Also played 50 straight playoff games. He did it without a mask. In fact, he did take a smack at one point in one game. He credited his approach was, he said, "My first priority was staying alive. The second was stopping the puck." Yeah, 1957, a playoff game between the Red Wings and Boston. He was knocked out by a screen shot from the Bruins' Vic Stasiak. He required 23 stitches to close a gash on his lip. Returned to the game after urging the doctor to speed up the repair job. And, of course, he was famous, is what I remember, for he also regularly threw up before the games.
Oh.
He said he played better when he felt the nerves, you see.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so one of his Hall of Fame teammate even suggested his bucket should have been placed in the Hall of Fame. At 6:07, we continue then with today's sports. Winnipeg Jets, they were playing last night, and they won. That's the...
They won.
After 11 losses.
That many, eight.
Yes, longest streak since they were in Atlanta back in 2011. The Jets won 5-1 going away.
Wow.
Everybody was working hard. Mr. Comrie in goal. They played the L.A. Kings last night, and the L.A. Kings did not look happy. New Jersey Devils are here Sunday, 1 o'clock here in Winnipeg. In the AHL, the Manitoba Moose take on the Rockford Ice Hogs tonight at 7 o'clock. A Professional Women's Hockey League. Vancouver played Ottawa last night, and Ottawa won 4-2. 3 games on Sunday in that league. Belfast Giants won a thriller this week, beating the Dundee Stars, I'll say, 7-4. Their next fixture is tonight. They play the Nottingham Panthers. Basketball, Toronto Raptors battled the Boston Celtics last night. Boston won 125-117. Raptors play Philadelphia 76ers Sunday at 5. Curling, the Grand Slam Crown Royal Players Championship continues. All I could find in the paper today, online anyways, because we didn't get a paper, was just the little highlight notes of who's playing what, when, where. So I see Saturday semis, Sunday the finals at 1 and 3:30. So the tiebreakers today at 10:30, Rana versus Fujiwara. And Schuster versus Moat is all I can share.
I just have one thing to say about that.
Yes.
The people who are listening in Ontario might want to cover their ears whenever you say Crown Royal.
They're not supposed to be drinking, is that it? Mr. Ford
wants
to pour it down the drain or something?
Yes.
You pour
it
this way.
Even though it's made in other provinces,
yeah, it's funny,
is the only one that counts.
I think he's had a blow to the head. At 6:09, return.
Yes.
In preparation for Carol going outside
what?
To our easy listening hit parade of the 40s and 50s. This morning it's Unchained Melody. Now, many people recorded this. We're going way back, though. It's Les Baxter I'm thinking of. And that name, all but unknown to today's rock-oriented pop listeners. But during the 1940s and 50s, he reigned supreme as a purveyor of a wide range of what used to be called orchestral mood music.
Unchain me.
Two of us sang it for a long time.
Les Baxter, who knew he was going to hold it that long?
Yeah.
We called it orchestral mood music. Now, what did that consist of? Well, a variety of musical tone paintings, cannily scored to capture the essence of a piece of or feeling. After an apprenticeship, as he was a member of Mel Torme's Meltones, which is a funny thing, just a coincidence, Carol. We're going to hear from Mel very shortly.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Baxter quickly rose to prominence as a musical director for radio shows starring Bob Hope, comedians Bud Abbott and Lou Costello, and he was an arranger for Capitol Records. And, of course, we're going to hear from Capitol Records later as we work our way through their early recordings when they started up in the 40s. Yes. Click. The universe goes click, Carol. Click. Mm-hmm. Capitol Records artists such as Margaret Whiting, Nat King Cole. So, we've been talking about Unchained Melody, the theme from the score of the movie Unchained, written by Alex North, and he did a lot of movie music, lyrics by Hi Zarrett. So it's been a top 10 hit, as I say, for several artists through the years. Les Baxter's version went right to the number one spot in 1955. Something about the Righteous Brothers comes to mind as we listen to that at 6:13. We've got to move on.
Yep.
Except a quick
busy
return.
Day.
Quick return to sports.
Oh, yes.
Because this was so important, I thought I'd better leave this separate. And that is, we know that Evan Holm has signed again with the Bombers and an extended contract.
Good.
Defensive halfback.
We always liked him. Number 31, right?
I think you're right.
I think so.
I think you're absolutely right.
That's how
I'm
much
looking
we
at a picture of him, and he's wearing 31.
There
but
you go.
More importantly.
Yes.
The Bombers have re-signed a special teams ace, veteran Canadian linebacker, I'm reading from the Free Press now, Tanner Cadwallader. I'll repeat that. Tanner Cadwallader agreed to a 2-year contract extension with the Bombers on Thursday.
Excellent.
He's 28. He's finished second or third in special teams tackles on the team every year since 2022. Is 4 shy of moving into the franchise's top 10. Selected in the 7th round, 64th overall in the 2020 CFL draft out of Wilfrid Laurier, hasn't missed a game since his rookie season in 2021. We always look for him as he comes out in the field and chats it up with the other boys.
The other boys are exercising.
What sort of game are you
stretching.
Expecting? Yep.
And he's running around chatting.
But that's how he gets into the role.
I guess
look
so.
How well he's done. I'll repeat that. That's Tanner Cadwallader.
Ron's
playing
favorite
for the
player.
Game.
Number?
47?
Yes.
Yeah, just for a minute there.
Oh, dear.
At 6:14, we need some choral music before we turn to
we
putting
do.
You up on the roof.
And some gospel at the same time.
Would be good as well. I'm thinking that sounds good to me, because we're about to steal away to our choir next Monday. Yes?
Yes.
Right. Vancouver Orpheus Choir.
Wow.
From their CD, Speed Your Journey, something we picked up on one of our trips to Victoria from a charity shop there.
Oh, cool.
At 6:19, Carol McKibben, if you will stand on your chair.
Okay.
And I will hand you the bamboo cane taped.
Just putting my hat on just a second.
The duct tape microphone.
Okay, I'm ready.
Pushing, looking. Carol is now waving it in a circular fashion. So we go looking for ancient radio waves. Well, good morning again, John.
Ron.
Now, I don't know if you remember the Pepsi ad. It's supposed to be set in the future. And there's an archaeologist. That's what made me think of you. And the kids are going around this kind of split level. And there's bits and pieces. One kid lifts up what looks like a baseball, but it's encrusted with rock and the like. And the professor says, why, this spheroid shape was part of a game. They used to hurl it at each other's heads at incredible velocity. And another kid brings a Coke bottle, partially encased in rock. And the archaeologist says, I haven't the faintest idea. It's a Pepsi ad, you see. So, John, I have this in my hand, and normally I would have said, I haven't the faintest idea, but I do know Mujaja. Mm-hmm. I remember them well. So why have you chosen, and what have you chosen?
Well, the song is called Queen Jealousy. It was released in 1974, and it's just a great song. Mujaja, the song wasn't a hit, but it's sort of much beloved. It was the opening track on their album that they released in 1973, and it's really the only kind of rock song on the album. The rest of the album has a lot of sort of understated jazz textures to it, which was really the signature sound of the band, because Greg Lescue, who formed the band, had a lot of jazz and traditional jazz and Django Reinhardt kind of leanings that he couldn't express in the Guess Who. Greg was certainly well known on the local music scene in the 60s with bands like the Shags and the Logan Avenue Comfort Station, Jameson Roberts Device, but certainly on May 16th, 1970, his life changed with a phone call, and that was a phone call from the Guess Who asking him and Kurt Winter to come and join to replace Randy Bachman. And Greg brought his eclectic musical taste to the Guess Who and brought a lot of different styles that really benefited the sound of the band, especially on the Share the Land and So Long Bannatyne albums. Greg's sort of touch is everywhere on that album. But on a personal level, he didn't get along with Burton Cummings very well. And in the middle of a tour in 1972, March of 1972, after a gig in Corpus Christi, Texas, he just up and left the band. And in fact, Burton Cummings has never forgiven him for doing that in mid-tour. But Greg came back and formed Mujaja with Gordy Oslin, Bill Merritt, and Herman Froom, excellent musicians who played in a lot of bands around town. They signed with Warner Brothers Records and went to New York and were produced by Phil Ramone.
Phil Ramone,
who was about to become the by discovering and producing Billy Joel. He also later worked with Paul Simon as well. So Phil produced their first album, and Queen Jealousy is the opening track. It's great guitar work. It's got great horn arrangements in it. And in fact, Greg Lescue takes a guitar solo, a rare guitar solo, because he's always sort of never rated himself as a great guitar player, but in fact, he's a terrific, tremendous guitar player. But I think he's just a little self-conscious that way. So this is just a great track that people will definitely remember.
All right, let's go back to the mid-70s then. Mujaja and Queen Jealousy. Jealousy and some fine work there. And a little personal touch, John. It called back to well, the universe giveth and the universe taketh away. Carol McKibbitt with John Anderson in conversation from a series we did back at CBC. I think it was called Meet in Manitoba. Now, that was his Rock Hunt series, I guess, and I was about to say that I remembered, as I've said before, hearing Mujaja play at the Ting Tea Room on Broadway.
Right.
Once upon a time in a previous century at 6:25. You know, we should take a quick look at what I have online because we didn't get our newspaper.
Right.
So I looked at the Free Press in terms of the book pages. And I see that Ben, as the book page editor, bumper crop of books, because he's looking at the new books that will be appearing
for the spring. Great.
First one that caught my eye, of course, and the first on his list as well, is Villain Hitting for Vicious Little Nobodies by Lindsay Wong. Winnipeg-based author of Tell Me Pleasant Things About Immortality delves into the ancient Chinese tradition of corpse brides. When a down-on-her-luck Vancouver woman signs up to become one, and her past gets tangled up with that of her grandmother, a powerful witch. And I'm several chapters into that, and it is grisly and unpleasant. And we'll be chatting with Lindsay Wong at the end of January. We'll have a copy to give away. Oh, at the moment, what I have is a reader's copy. So that's coming out this spring as well. Nice to see a new book from Yann Martel, he of Life of Pi. Based in Saskatoon, brings a story of a modern-day scholar who unearths a previously unseen account of the Trojan War and proceeds to translate it. The text reveals parallels between ancient Greece and modern times and a personal note to his beloved daughter. That's fiction. Well, one more fiction title, and that's because The Keeper by Tana French. This is, she's written quite a few set in Ireland, but this one will be the third in the series of a Chicago detective who retires to Ireland. We've done the first one, and we're doing the second one in my mystery book club. So this will be the third. And as
They sort of connected, the same people? Or
same guy.
Like just one guy?
Yep. Yeah. And a couple of other characters appear as well.
Right.
Wildly popular Dublin-based thriller writer returns with the final book in the Cal Hooper trilogy, following The Searcher and The Hunter is the one we're going to be doing. Finds retired Chicago detective in a remote Irish village, yes. And as well, I see in nonfiction titles, kids, wait till you hear this. My memoir by Liza Minnelli, as told to Michael Feinstein, iconic star of the stage and screen, dives deep into her storied life and career, sharing her struggles to emerge, indeed, from the shadows of her famous parents, Judy Garland, director Vincent Minnelli. Her rise to stardom, struggles with addiction, and wait, there's more. As well, nonfiction, Lessons from a Lifetime, 90 Years of Inspiration and Activism. Three guesses. Who could this be? Famous Canadian with 90 years of inspiration and activism.
Canadian?
Yep.
I can't think.
Insulted the CBC from the stage one time when I was there when he was being given an award. David Suzuki. Longtime environmental social activist offers lessons learned in his decades on the front lines and as host of CBC's The Nature of Things. Anyways, a couple of things for you there coming new in fiction, nonfiction in the spring. But as well, I see if I made a larger note of this. Yeah. Winnipeg playwright Ian Ross will be remembered as a celebration of life next weekend in an event being organized by the Royal Manitoba Theatre Centre, Prairie Theatre Exchange, Manitoba Theatre for Young People, and Ross Family. He was born in McCreary, of course. 1997, his debut play, Farewell, won the Governor General's Literary Award. So the celebration of life, and of course we know him from Joe from Winnipeg on CBC Radio, celebration of life for Ross takes place Sunday, January 18th, 2 p.m., at the Royal Manitoba Theatre Centre's John Hirsch Main Stage. That's 174 Market Avenue. Doors open at 1, reception to follow the event. Seating is limited, and a live stream will also be provided via the website for Ross Obituary at wfp.to/INA. So the WFP is the Winnipeg Free Press. wfp.to/INA is what it looks like to me here. I'm reading from a small screen.
I see.
And a blurry small screen at 6:30. You know, we better play this because I talked about it. And
yes.
I'm thinking, Mel Torme.
Yes.
I'm listening, as I sometimes do in the mornings from 6 to 8 with Chuck Southcott on CJNU.
Okay.
He plays a lot of Tony Bennett, Frank Sinatra, Mel Torme. Wonderful version. And I'm often suspicious of someone trying to twist an old favorite into a pretzel to do it in a new style.
Oh,
but
dear.
Mel Torme gets a hold of something. He does a very good job. And I thought, yeah, I'd like to. I wonder if I've got that up. Well, I didn't. But I'm down at
Into the Music
that same morning.
With your friend's card.
Looking at the back wall.
Yeah.
Where most of the LPs are a dollar.
Right.
I reach out my hand and I pull out not Mrs. Prothero and the Fireman, but no. Mel Torme loves Fred Astaire. That is exactly the album that I'd been listening to in the morning. And so I thought, why don't we play the song that I thought was so wonderful? And that's Nice Work If You Can Get It.
Oh, yes.
At midnight, 'neath the starry sky. Nice work if you can get it, and you can get it if you try. Strolling with the one girl, sighing sigh after sigh. Nice work if you can get it, and you can get it if you try. Just imagine someone waiting at the cottage door, where two hearts become one. Who could ask for anything more? Loving one who loves you, and then taking that vow. Nice work if you can get it, and if you get it, won't you tell me how? Nice work if you can get it. Nice work if you can get it. The man who only lives for making money lives a life that isn't necessarily sunny. Likewise, the man who works for fame, there's no guarantee that time won't erase his name. The only work that really brings enjoyment is the kind that is for girl and boy meant. Fall in love, you won't regret it. That's the best kind of work if you can get it. Midnight, 'neath the starry sky. Nice work if you can get it, and you can get it if you try. Strolling with the one girl, sighing sigh after sigh. Nice work if you can get it. Nice work if you can get it. And if you get it, won't you tell me how?
Gourmet, singing the LP's titled Mel Torme Loves Fred Astaire.
What a great voice.
That recorded in 1956. Wow. And what's on that LP? Foggy Day, Fine Romance, Let's Call the Whole Thing Off, Top Hat, White Tails, The Way You Look Tonight, They Can't Take That Away From Me, Cheek to Cheek, Let's Face the Music and Dance. They all laughed when I sat down to play the piano because the stool wasn't there. It's a very old joke, Carol. Very old joke. And Mel, who was musician, arranger, drummer, author, you name it, did it all. Died in 1999. Remember my tech when I was at CBC said, because he came to Winnipeg.
Right.
I'm sure he did a number of times. But he came and he was playing two concerts.
At the concert hall.
Yeah. Two nights in a row.
Filled it.
And so my tech said, who is this Mel Torme?
Oh, dear.
I said, Arthur, let me explain this to you.
Yep.
And how many people do you know? 6:35 then, Carol. Time for help. Time for help.
We
can provide the help right after this.
I'm Stephen Price, author of Lampedusa, and you are listening to CKUW FM 95.9.
Here in Winnipeg. Looking at your problems solved. This is your rugby problem solved. I see. Yeah, these appear to be all rugby problems, the entire column. Well, we'll do one anyways. Thank you, Mary, from The Spectator, from September of 2007. Question. My son is a member of a rugby team at his university. They're a lovely bunch of chaps during daylight hours, but some sort of group hysteria seems to take hold during post-match victory celebrations, and they behave more like cavemen than gentlemen. They obviously need the civilizing influence of female company in the form of girlfriends, but how to find them? Although there are many suitable single girls in our circle, the four we took to a recent game in the hope of doing a spot of matchmaking were put off by the beer-fueled boorishness in the pub afterwards. What do you suggest, Mary? I'd say run away, would be my view, but VHR devises, Wiltshire. Mary has an answer. Of course Mary has an answer. What did you think? Just because the team members enjoy these occasional Jekyll and Hyde evenings as part of their ritual for bonding does not reduce their overall eligibility. Society's new form of matchmaking, as spearheaded by Lady Mayer in a forthcoming fundraising event for PACT, Parents of Abducted Children Trust, 13 September, consists of arranging speed dating evenings in aid of charity. A committee of young men and women invite their friends to pay to attend. Those for whom speed dating events would normally bear the stigma of the saddo are only too delighted to have the excuse to do it for a benefit of charity. In Lady Meyer's evening, 30 girls will meet 30 boys, and boxes can be ticked for both fancy and friend. All tickings are married together at the conclusion, and those who have ticked each other's boxes, ooh, are handed mobile numbers. Money is raised for charity, and everyone is happy. Arrange such an evening to benefit the clubhouse or another likely charity, and the team members will reap certain romantic dividends with resultant civilizing effects on the team members. Good luck. Thank you, Mary. I may have to review this whole thing because I didn't never realize that they had chosen one topic for all the letters on this page or seem to be all rugby. Good Lord.
We can come back to it maybe in the summer or something.
6:38, turning to the German Classic Movie Channel. We see what's on today, 12:45 this afternoon, Mutiny on the Bounty. Now that's the director Lewis Milestone, Mr. Pout, Marlon Brando, so I think about 1962, Trevor Howard, Richard Harris, I guess Trevor Howard probably plays Captain Bly. Actually, the bounty was constructed in Nova Scotia for that movie. Cost $750,000. They had to sail it to Tahiti, but I might go back to the year. Well, it's a problem. The earlier Mutiny on the Bounty had Clark Gable, who up against Charles Laughton. Which seems like an odd pairing, doesn't it? Yes. 7 o'clock tonight, Downhill Racer, 1969. Robert Redford, Gene Hackman. Skier learns winning isn't everything. I think that's been done before. Don't tell the late Vince Lombardi. All right. As he storms out of the movie house. Right. It was Noir Alley tonight, 11 o'clock. Crimes of Passion from 1957. Barbara Stanwyck being bad again, I would imagine. Sterling Hayden. And then, of course, they'll repeat that 9 a.m. Sunday morning. That's the Noir Alley series. 12:30 a.m. Sunday, Godzilla from 1956. They're doing it up big because at 2:30, then we have Mothra versus Godzilla from 1964. 4 a.m. on Sunday, you might want to tape this, the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer story. Now, when I say that, it was done in 1951.
Oh, okay.
So it's only up till then. It'll be a one-hour show. And at 1 o'clock, 1 p.m. on Sunday, well, Monsieur Verdoux from 1947, directed by Charlie Chaplin. Chaplin, as you know, did his music as well for some of his movies. Behind us, we hear Smile, of course. So, 1 o'clock on Sunday, and then on Sunday, oddly enough, 7 o'clock, never on a Sunday, never on Sunday, from 1960, directed by Jules Dassin. Melina Mercury, Jules Dassin. American scholar in Greece tries to reform a local prostitute. But let's hear some more, Chaplin. Smile, which was the love theme in the closing title, composed by Charlie Chaplin at 6:42. Comedy coming up, Carol.
Oh, good.
Shortly, but I think I've got to cue something as well here. So let's go to Elvis, because he was busy boy on this day in 1956 in the recording studio. What, another number one hit, Elvis?
Oh, dear.
Well, since my baby left, so lonely, baby. Well, I'm so lonely. I'll be so lonely, I could die. Although it's always crowded, you still can find some room for broken-hearted lovers to cry there in the gloom. I'll be so lonely, baby. I'll be so lonely. I'll be so lonely, they could die. Flowing, the desk clerk's dressed in black. Well, they've been so long on the street, they'll never, never look back. And think you're so, they think you're so lonely, baby. Well, they're so lonely, well, they're so lonely, they could die. Well, if your baby leaves you, you've got a tale to tell. Well, just take a walk down the street to Heartbreak Hotel. Some room for broken-hearted lovers to cry.
be, but they're so lonely, they'd be so lonely they could die.
The large round mound of sound, the great Moby Elvis, the great white whale.
Okay.
Heartbreak Hotel there from two CDs at Elvis, 50 years, 50 hits. At 6:44, just ahead of our comedy, though, I was in our library,
yes,
which is the Harvey Smith Library in the Cindy Klassen complex. I was looking over, well, this, that, and the other thing.
Yeah.
Took them in a box of books. You can, too. Market Friends.
Right.
For the next book sale, they do. Friends of the Library.
Yes.
Not too big, not too heavy, and not bags, please. They want boxes.
Boxes, yes.
And they had a nice display on It's the End of the World as We Know It.
Oh.
And I looked, and yes, they were all sort of end of world novels and the like.
Right.
More modern than ancient, you know, not Jules Verne or something. Or
H.G.
Wells. And I thought, why do I recognize that? So I went up to chat with the lady at the desk while I was doing something. She said, well, it's Great Big Sea.
Yes.
It's the end. Of course it is Great Big Sea. Anyways, yes. Nice display, as they do every time I go in. There's a couple of nice displays. But I looked over the new books, and I found Exo Orpheus, 50 New Myths. I thought, wait a minute. Orpheus? New? Wait a minute. Icarus Flies Once More. Aztec Jaguar Gods Again Stalk the Earth. An American Soldier Designs a New Kind of Trojan Horse. His Cremains in a Bullet.
Mm.
And I thought, Now, Exo... If Exo signals a goodbye, then Exo Orpheus is a goodbye to an old way of myth-making, a book that boldly hearkens to a new beginning for one of the world's oldest literary traditions. And as I say, 50, quite a variety of authors. So I took the very first story, which was Argos, and let's give it a little listen to it, see what you think. Argos by Joy Williams. Perhaps you've read of me. I am the hound old Argos. I once belonged to the hero Odysseus some 2,800 years ago. Homer granted me a few lines in his epic. He presented me in a pathetic light, castaway on piles of dung from mules and cattle, infested with ticks, half dead from neglect. I had waited for my absent master 20 years. When he returned, he came in the guise of a beggar, a mangy tramp, a bag of bones. This was calculation, this deception. The final triumphant wile of the wily Ulysses. I alone recognized him. I thumped my tail in joy, though I hadn't the strength to drag myself an inch toward him. He did not acknowledge me. He did not place his hand on my bony head or stroke my withered flanks. A friendly touch from him, but it meant the world to me, of course. I'd often dreamed of his return, which I'd long associated with happiness. I cannot tell you why his wife and son did not take care of me those long years, or why their servants were so cruel. There is much that animals do not understand. I do know, however, that Homer did not invent me. I was always Argos. It is Homer, indeed, who in all probability did not exist as an individual, his words being the imaginations of many. It was even said that Odysseus flicked away a tear when he beheld me, though I did not see it, as the hero had turned his back on me. A little teaser for you there from Exo Orpheus, 50 New Myths. That's just one of them. Of course, it's going back into the library. Anybody who wants to read it, you can request it. Exo Orpheus, 50 New Myths.
You're taking your copy back in the next day or two?
And they'll ship it to your library if that's what you want.
Yes.
Especially, I suppose, they're something for the dog owners.
Oh.
The one absolutely unselfish friend that a man can have in this selfish world. The one that never deserts him. The one that never proves ungrateful or treacherous is his dog. A fellow's dog will stand by him in prosperity or poverty, in health or in sickness. He will sleep on the cold ground where the winter winds blow and the snow drives fiercely, if only he can be near his master's side. He'll kiss the hand that has no food to offer. He guards the sleep of his pauper master as if he were a prince. When all other friends desert, well, that dog remains. When riches take wings and reputations fall to pieces, he is as constant in his love as the sun is in its journey through the heavens. Now, if misfortune drives the master forth, an outcast in the world, friendless and homeless, the faithful dog asks no higher privilege than to just be with him to guard against danger and to fight against his enemies. And when the last scene of all comes, and death takes the master in its embrace, and his body is laid away in the cold ground, no matter if all other friends pursue their way, there by the graveside will the noble dog be found. His head between his paws, his eyes sad, but open in alert watchfulness, faithful and true, even in death.
Walter Brennan, from a bit of an LP of Walter, Dutchman's Gold, I think it was called. I don't think he does Old Rivers on that particular LP.
Right.
Wonderful actor, Walter Brennan, nominated, won three times, Best Supporting Actor as a human being, and his politics, ooh, unpleasant, at 6:51. We were going to play comedy, and the CD I brought with me, which is an MP3, will not play on any of our three machines, so we'll scrap that, and I'll tell a joke instead. There's a new restaurant on the moon, Carol.
Yes.
Yes. The food's not bad, but it lacks atmosphere.
Oh, very funny.
Do you have a joke for the people?
Yes, I've got a couple of winter jokes.
All right, Carol.
Okay, Ron. What kind of Mexican food is most popular at the North Pole?
Chili food.
That's a good
answer.
Pretty
good, eh? I just came to me here.
But it's not the answer that's in the joke page here.
Okay.
Burritos.
Oh, my. Okay.
Yes,
should have saved that for the children so they could tell it to their parents over and over and over.
So, what did the wool hat say to the scarf?
Give me a tug. No.
You hang around while I go on ahead.
Okay, there you are. There'll be a test at the end of the show this morning to see if you remembered those to share with others. 6:52. We better get moving on, Carol Gibbon.
Okay.
Died on this day in 1985, Anton Karas.
That's your comedy bit.
That was it.
Yes.
That was it.
Sorry.
I'm laughing internally.
Folks. Yep.
Anton Karas died on this day in 1985. Who,
okay.
He?
Yes.
Who can forget? Overlooked and underappreciated, the zither.
Okay.
Thank you.
50 hits, top 20 hits of the 50s, Anton Karas, of course. Mr. Zither, Austrian zither player, best known for that, for the international famous 1948 soundtrack to Carol Reed's A Third Man. There were five children in the family. He was allowed to learn to play an instrument. His first zither was when he found his grandmother's attic at the age of 12.
Oh, wow.
So he ended up during the war, 39 to 45, German Wehrmacht anti-aircraft warfare, temporarily in Russia. Temporarily is lucky then. Took his zither along, lost more than one instrument from war, but he always managed to find another. So the summer of 1948, director Carol Reed, preparing to shoot The Third Man in Vienna, staying at the Hotel Sacher, along with many of the British elements of the Allied Control Commission for Austria. And this fellow was showing Reed around the city. On the second day, they stopped at Hürger and heard Karas playing the zither in the background. And so Reed, desperately searching for a theme tune, chanced on this tavern. Bingo bango, Reed asked to stun Karas if he would compose the music for the film.
Wow.
Karas protested, saying he had never actually written music. Karas later told the story. The director insisted, invited Karas to England. The Austrian became homesick and asked to return. Reed told him he could when he had written the music.
Oh, dear.
Sounds like Rossini. You know, he used to have to lock him up in his room. Mm-hmm. At 6:56. Is it going to snow today? Have we already had all our snow.
It's hard to
say.
It's supposed to end this morning. We had snow before we got up, so.
Well, one more joke for the people then.
Okay.
It's snow fun unless we get some more.
Oh.
Outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. It doesn't show signs of stopping, and I brought some corn for popping. The lights are turned way down low. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. When we finally kiss goodnight, how I'll hate going out in the storm. But if you'll really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. The fire is slowly dying, and my dear, we're still goodbying. But as long as you love me so, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. As long as you love me so, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Woody Herman and his orchestra at 6:59. Speaking of jazz and thinking of that, upcoming events, Fort Garry returns. Jazz.